I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And this fall, as you well know, if you've been here on a regular basis, we're in a series of messages on building a Christ-like character as it's outlined for us in these verses that we're going to be reading in Colossians chapter 3. And we've been thinking about what that might mean for us. What would it mean for us to build, to take on, to pursue, to seek after a Christ-like character, what that might look like for us. And if you remember, and I know that Pastor Mark spoke to this the last couple of Sundays as well, Paul is writing to new believers in the city of Colossae, and he's urging them to leave behind their old way of life before they came to hear about Jesus Christ, and to take on and embrace the new life that Christ offers. And it's a new life in which increasingly the character of Christ himself is to be pursued. And Paul speaks of it in terms of a metaphor, you know, the clothing. So put off the old parts of your character that reflect, you know, the human nature that isn't quite so in keeping with what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and put on the new clothing of, and that's where we find ourselves in verse 12. These familiar words which we're going to read one last time as we bring this series to a close. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. And we looked at each one of these: kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Pastor Mark, the last couple of weeks, spoke to verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And now this morning, verse 14, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on love. Over all of these Christ-like qualities, Paul says, put on love. And as we'll see, love is the driver of all of the other qualities that we've looked at. But love is not such an easy thing for us at times, isn't it? Sometimes people are just plain hard to love. You'd agree with that, I'm quite sure, because we all have people in our area, our arena of relationships, people that we come encounter with now and again, that are just kind of hard to love. Maybe others might even think that we might be at times hard to love, just to make sure that we're got this perspective right. But it's the problem is, you see, we're not all carbon copies of each other, and that's probably a very good thing, but there's always kind of a rub that comes because of that. Our personalities, our backgrounds, our circumstances, the struggles that we have in life, right? The things that fill our hearts and our minds, the concerns that we have are different, right? All of which shapes our perspective, all of which shapes the way we see things, all of which shapes the way we have learned to respond to things, because we're all just a little bit different, or sometimes a whole lot different. And yet we so often assume that people ought to be able to see things the way we see them. I mean, it's obvious, right? And respond to things the way that we respond to. They ought to be able to be thinking like and feeling and reacting and responding just like we do. Well, and then there's the fact that we're all human, right? So I'll put this in the correct order. Sometimes we say and do things that hurt other people. And sometimes other people say and do things that hurt us. Why is that? It's because we're human. We disappoint each other, we hurt each other. But it's funny, though, that for many of us, it's easier to identify the weaknesses and the faults of others than it is our own. I don't know why that is. But here's the question. Here's the question that I'd like you to think about. Of all of those that you find the most challenging in your relationships, of those that you find the most difficult to relate to, whoever they are, wherever they may be, what would it mean for you to relate to them with a Christ-like love, which Christ directed your way? What would it mean for you to accept them and to relate to them the way that Christ loves you? I'd like you to think about that this morning. Well, without a doubt, love is the most overused word in the English language. We use it to refer to many different things. We use it to refer to many different emotions. We use it to refer to many different feelings of affections. So, you know, we have this one word in the English language. And so I can say, I love my wife and I love my family and I love spending a week with all of them together as we just did. And I love God and I love my country and I love a good book and a good cup of coffee, and I love getting away for a few days and doing absolutely nothing. We have this one word. And so how do we sort it out, what we mean with this one word in our English language? Well, we rely on context, right? So you get the idea of what we mean when we say, well, I love good food. I love a good dinner at a good restaurant, or I love a Thanksgiving meal. We understand, because of the context, what we mean with that word love. But what does it mean when we say we love a person? So I went to the dictionary, and here's what I found out. Love, four definitions, characteristics, whatever. A profoundly tender, passionate affection for someone. Or a feeling of warm personal attachment. Or sexual desire, or its gratification. Or a score of zero in tennis. Now, doesn't this strike you as a little bit lacking here? Isn't something missing here? Because if love is nothing more than an emotion, we're kind of in trouble, aren't we? If love is simply a passionate affection and a warm feeling, well, you know, where does that lead us? If love is and depends on our feelings for someone, we're going to be very selective about who that someone is. We're going to be very selective about who we choose to love. And there will be little consistency in our love for that person because, as you know, feelings change all the time, right? Feelings come and feelings go. They change all the time, right? As a matter of fact, you know, the very notion that love is based on feelings is one of the biggest reasons so many people struggle with relationships today. So many people struggle with relationships, and it's indicative of how shallow many people's understanding of the word is. But Paul writes this. He says, over all these virtues, in verse 14, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And so then the question is, what is this love that Paul is talking about? And it is a love, as it turns out, that is quite unlike much of the love that is experienced, that is acted out on, that is thought about in our world today. In the original language, the word that Paul uses is a word that you may be familiar with. In the Greek, the word for love here is agape. So while in the English language we have generally one word, in the original language of the New Testament, there are multiple words. And this word agape is a deep and abiding love that goes beyond feelings. It does not rest or depend on feelings, but rather it is an unconditional, self-giving, often costly love that is based on not on how I feel about things, but is based on the choice that I make. The choice that I make to seek another person's best interest over and above my own. So this is a lot right here on the screen, so let's just take a look at this a little bit more carefully. It is a love, first of all, that is modeled by God Himself. Modeled by God Himself in His grace-filled, unconditional love for us. This is what John writes. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, since He so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How ought we to love one another? With the same kind of love that John speaks about here. God loves us unconditionally. He loves us with all of our warts. He loves us with all of our blemishes. He loves us with all of our failures and sins. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He did not wait for us to love Him first. Romans says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't defer His love until He was pretty certain that we would reciprocate His love. He simply chose to love without any conditions, without any strings attached. And as the recipients of that unconditional, grace-filled love, we're called to extend, we're called to reflect that grace-filled, unconditional love to others, treating them with compassion and with kindness and with humility and with gentleness and with patience. And especially in the face of grievances, Paul says in Colossians 3, when the going gets rough and when there is conflict, especially then, our willingness to bear with others and our willingness to extend forgiveness to others. Well, let's face it, people are sometimes difficult to love. There are those with whom we disagree. There are those whose personalities rub us the wrong way, right? There are those who are hard to get along with, or so it seems. There are those who have hurt us, and we want to love. Yeah, well, maybe. But we want to pick out, we want to choose the people that we want to love the people that we will show compassion and kindness and patience and humility and gentleness. We want to pick out the people that we will go above and beyond to get along with. We want to choose and pick out the people that we are willing to forgive. And those people inevitably are people who are a lot like us. There are people who think a lot like us. There are people who are easy to love. There are people who will love us back. Good thing God doesn't love us that way. Right? Good thing. And not only is this love that Paul is urging us to express unconditional, but it is also a self-giving love. This is what John writes in 1 John 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. We live in a world that is filled largely with takers, people who are much more interested in getting rather than giving, often with the expression that they will get something in return. They choose selectively who they will love. But we're being called to embody a love of a different kind. We're called to love here as Christ has loved us, to be givers rather than takers, to seek the best interests of others before ourselves. And I don't know how what you're thinking about this, but if you really just pause to think about self-giving love, well, that love can be costly. That love can require something of us. It can impose on us. It can disrupt our busy schedules. It can be inconvenient. It can be emotionally draining. It can be difficult. I mean, self-giving love compels us to set aside our desires, what we want. It requires us at times to go beyond our comfort level. And it compels us to kind of push aside our agenda. It requires our time and our energy for somebody else's benefit. There isn't really anything easy about this kind of love. Well, the pure model for this love is the sacrificial death of Christ himself. You think about what that cost him. It's not easy to show kindness at times. It's not easy to show patience to others at times, right? It's not easy to give of yourself, especially when that person doesn't deserve it, and especially when it's not returned, and especially when it's not appreciated. It's not easy to choose to respond to a higher level or to respond on a higher level when somebody has hurt you and everything within you just wants you either to retaliate or to withdraw. But it's the love to which you and I are called. Jesus said this. He said, a new command that I give you, as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love? Well, obviously, Jesus loved us unconditionally, right? Jesus loved us with a self-giving love. Is that yours? No. Somebody missing a mento here? Huh? Actually, give it back. I could really use it right now. Jesus is the model for us. I want to circle back and think about with you about something that I had mentioned earlier, and that is this. Love is not a feeling. It is a choice that we make. It has more to do with how you think and how you act rather than how you feel. Now understand, we're talking about the Greek a word that means agape. So that's what we're saying. And agape is all about acting, not so much about feeling. It's certainly easier to think and act positively to people that you find likable, right? Find, you know, they're not a bad person, you know? It's much easier to react positively to them. But the hallmark of Christ-like love is the ability to act, to make that choice, and put that choice into action in the absence of affection. Hallmark of Christian love is the ability to act in the absence of affection. Think of for a moment of the description of the Apostle Paul right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. These words don't describe how somebody feels. They describe how someone acts. And love here is characterized by patience and kindness. It protects, it trusts. It hopes, it perseveres, it refuses to be boastful, envious, or proud. It will not behave rudely. It will not be selfish. It will not be short-tempered. This is all about our actions. And we don't always feel like tending to someone else's needs. Sometimes we're just plain tired. We're not in a very good mood. We just don't have any energy, and we don't really want to listen to somebody else. We really don't want to offer to help them. Please, I've had a long and hard day. You know how it goes. But love requires us to set aside our feelings and exhibit genuine concern and unselfish hope. That's self-giving love. Well, what about the person who is hard to love, right? You show compassion and kindness because of the love to which you and I are called to pattern our love after, Christ's unconditional love. Easier said than done. Let's just acknowledge that together. Love is not a feeling, it is a choice that we make, and we choose to keep on loving, even if a family member, even if a coworker, or somebody else that God has placed in our path is making it very difficult to love them. And some of you know exactly what I am talking about, how costly love is, and what love requires, and what it means to persevere in love when sometimes you just want to quit. The truth is, choosing to love even when we don't feel like it is actually a higher level of love, because it's one thing to love when something is going great. It's one thing to love when, you know, you're still on your honeymoon and the flowers are in bloom and the circumstances of life are just right. It's something else to choose to love when life is messy and complicated and filled with stress and sometimes pain, and not everything is going right. The real test of love is when things are not going well and you choose to love someone in spite of how you feel about things. Now, let me ask you again. Think of those you find most difficult and most challenging to relate to. You think of the person in your life, or the persons, plural, in your life, who are just plain difficult. Can you name them? Couldn't you put them in your mind's eye? Again, I ask, what would it mean for you to choose to love them as Christ has loved you? What would it mean to choose to love them unconditionally? What would it mean to choose to love them and seek their best interest for your own? What does that look like for you? What would it mean for you to show compassion to them? What would it mean for you to show kindness or humility or gentleness or patience? What would be required of you to bear with them? And what about forgiveness? What would it look like for you to relate to those people in your life that are just unlovable in a Christ-like way? And I want to encourage you to think about that today. Because, of course, God's word for us this morning is not just meant to be heard. God's word for us this morning, like every morning, is meant to be lived out in our lives, even when it becomes very difficult for us. It's meant to make a difference in our lives. It's meant to make a difference in our relationship with others. Now, I want to close this morning with a couple of very quick thoughts. Some of you are wondering how you will ever be able to reach the very high bar that Paul sets before us in these three verses in Colossians chapter 3, right? More than one of you have said to me, I really had no idea that this passage would be so challenging. I just didn't know. I mean, how can you be patient with someone who tries to take advantage of you? How can you be kind to those who are unkind to you? How can you forgive the person who has hurt you so deeply? What does that forgiveness look like? Yeah? I mean, you know, it's the Christ-like thing to do with all of these qualities. But how can you? Well, I want to suggest that it begins, first of all, by embracing the fact that you are loved by God. The secret to this kind of self-giving, unconditional love that we have been talking about, the secret is found in your accepting it. Secret to unconditional, often costly, self-giving love, and your ability to extend that love to others, particularly to those who are the real pains in your love, is found in your accepting it. God loves you personally. He loves you powerfully. He loves you passionately. And his love for you will never fail. And his love, if you let it, can change you and flow out from you and through you to those people around you. But here's the deal. You cannot give what you have not received. You cannot give what you have not understood. You cannot give what you have not personally accepted. We talk a lot about God's grace around this place, but talking about God's grace and hearing about God's grace is not the same as accepting it. Knowing about God's grace is not the same as experiencing God's grace in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, at the core of our being. It's not the same as grasping this astonishing idea that somehow God has chosen to love me, you, unconditionally. Unless you realize how much you are loved by God and accept the fact that you mean everything to God, you will have a very difficult time extending this kind of agape, unconditional, self-giving, often costly love to others. Here's the second thing. Let me remind you what we have been reminding ourselves as we made our way through this series of messages, beginning with Sunday number one, building a Christ-like character and relating to others in a Christ-like way is not about trying harder. Because as I said all those weeks ago, this is not a self-improvement project. This is not self-help here. Ultimately, only Christ's Spirit, which we commonly refer to as the Holy Spirit, but remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he was about to leave, before he was facing his arrest and crucifixion, it was that he would be leaving, he said, but he would send his Spirit. Only Christ's Spirit can change our lives and enable us to love this way. Because what did Jesus say? Do you remember? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you will do nothing. Not will, but can. You're not capable of doing anything. Real life transformation, in other words, comes when we remain in Him, in His Spirit, through His Word, through prayer, opening our hearts to Him, drawing our strength from Him, and letting His life flow through us. That, my friends, is Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 14. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love for us that makes all the difference in our lives. And as we bring this study to a close, help us to reflect your unconditional, unfailing, self-giving, costly love to those around us so that it makes a difference in our lives, so that it makes a difference in the lives of others around us, so that others will sit up and take notice and be drawn to Christ through us. Amen.